You're going to stay in truth. Father, we come to you again in this day, happy and thankful. We had the opportunity to be in your house today. And let it be, dear Father, that we always are open, receptive, present with you. We know that you are always with us. Help us more and more to be with you. Be with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And continue to be with us as a team, dear Father. We love these opportunities that we can be together, see each other, visit, learn, and truly increase in our understanding of how and what you need us to do. Dear Father, it's not as if you truly do need us, but you do. You've chosen it that way. There are so many souls who need help in finding you. Help us always to do our part. Bless us in this evening. Let us be safe and guided and protected and completely present. Bless all who are in need. Dear Father, those who can't make it, let everything be well with them. Lead us into our future and please send the Lord Jesus soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
You.
Before I read Father's message, just wanted to share something with you. Last couple of weeks, I've been sick physically, and it's been a very difficult challenge for me. And last week was a very difficult week as well. And I knew that I had to take Father's message. I usually take it the week before our meeting. And every day was just a difficult struggle for me on a spiritual level. And on Friday, I basically said to Father, I'm just going to tell everybody that there's no message. And he humored me for about an hour. And then he said, I need you to come and see me because I have things I would like to share with the team. So I begrudgingly dragged myself in front of him. And this is what he had to say. My dear children, I am happy to see all of you here today. Let me start this message off by telling you that last week's service for the departed, as you would expect, was wonderful. Millions were baptized, adopted, and sealed. Please continue to go into eternity. Even though you feel your visits are short, they impact the souls on an apocalyptic level. That sure is a huge level, is it not? I know that some of you are down, sad, or depressed. I am here for you, as is Jesus and HS. You can come and see us anytime you need to. Things in your life will change, but change does not happen until you take that first step towards change. Does that make sense? Many of you are active in eternity and cleaning countries. Thank you for your help. Please continue. I would like to extend an invitation to all of you to come and see me. I have Hang on a second. Get this. I have new gifts for all of you, but you must come and take it from my hand. These gifts were tailor-made for you. Not one of the gifts are the same. That is because not one of you are the same. Does this not excite you? Come now, get a little excited. It is time to come, or it's time, I'm sorry. It is time to become more active. When you come and see me, I will give you direction. I will tell you where I need you to be active. And you need all, I'm sorry, all you need to do is come and see me. Let me see now. Yes, there will be changes coming very quickly for the US congregations. Have any of you noticed that HS is now more active during the service? Yes, he is. That is because the spirit of this world is leaving the minister's hearts. And HF can enter and use them as worthy vessels. All of you are worthy vessels, even though at times you may think you are not worthy at all. I do not choose worthless souls to conduct such important tasks. Look back in history. Not one of those who I chose to do my work thought they were worthy either. And yet, look at all the remarkable things they all accomplished for me. You can do this for me too. I am counting on all of you. Each one of you is a piece in the puzzle of my plan, which includes Fred, Kathy, and Lauren. Nukes Lauren, just to be clear. Each one of you is important to me and my plan of salvation for all souls. be they alive or in eternity. Now, I need all of you to understand and accept all of this. Come and see us. We will have a big hug waiting for you. And as always, we love all of you very much. So I shared the beginning of this with you prior to taking Father's message for the simple fact that even when we're down and things are not going well in our life, we don't have an excuse to not do what Father asks of us. And that was something I learned in that moment, because while he was giving his message, I had to stop a couple times and take a deep breath and apologize to him for thinking that it was okay to not take his message to cheat all of you. And that was not okay. And I apologize and I'm sorry that I did that. I am fighting through a lot of things personally, and I know that all of you are fighting through things too. And I plead with Father all the time to give us all the strength. We heard in the service today about afflictions, that Jesus had to be afflicted because of us. And none of us is devoid of a struggle. So I want you to know that every day I plead with Father on your behalf. And I ask him to be kind. And I ask him to spoil you by giving you a really good day. Because I know that a lot of you don't get that too often. And I think you deserve it. Because of the work you do, because of the fighting you do for Father. And I know that he'll come through when the time is right. So thank you. Q?
Yeah. So I had forgotten that I was doing this until yesterday. So I didn't reach out to anyone. But I'll start with just at least one experience that I had this week. And I'm glad that I shared it. Jim and Lauren were in service today. Obviously, they go to our congregation. We went out to dinner. We came back here for just a couple of hours. And I'm so glad that I brought it up to them, because as I always ground in the morning, but if I leave early in the morning, then I'm doing it when I'm in my car. And so I prayed. Then I was driving, got halfway down my street, and I was grounding, and I was already in the throne room. But just prior to that, the radio was on low, but it was Tom Petty. And I just got in the car, and you know, and it's so amazing. And it's like he is just so hungry, not only for everything that Father wants to help him with, but just in working with the souls. It's just unbelievable. And so I heard that, and I said, oh, hey, how you doing? And then I'm on my way to see Father, and he came with me. And so he's in the throne room with me. And, you know, I get the hug and all from Father. And then, you know, you're driving, so things go, you know, and I'm still there, but not. And I thought to myself, well, hell, that's interesting. I guess maybe he can see Father or whatever. And I'm so glad I brought that up with Tryland, because he helped us to understand that going to see Father is not something that anyone and everyone can do. Right. He allows us to do that. And if you remember over the years, the different times when Trilan would share with us an experience, and I remember the time when you said that you were in eternity and all of God's children were there, and the patriarchs and the matriarchs and all of them were there. And so, but then we don't think much of that as it goes, but it doesn't just happen that way. And Trilan, would you mind just expounding a little bit more?
So as Q was talking to us, sharing that experience with Tom Petty there, Father went like this. And he said, only very few do I invite to come and see me. It is an exception to the rule anytime he lets somebody from eternity come there And if you have ever been in the chamber with Father, it's on a rare occasion for myself. Sometimes he'll have my dad there, my mom, my kids, but they don't get to come and see him every day. And you and I, we have that opportunity. And I don't think we understand how huge of a privilege that is. And I think we take that for granted. I know I have, because I can look and see any moment during the course of my day. I don't even have to close my eyes and I'm there with him. And you just kind of drop in and you say hi and you get a hug and you're off and you're running like an idiot, right? If you were to stop for a minute and realize the kindness that Father has, and that he makes the time for us, even though he's not bound by it, right? He's stopping his schedule where he's overseeing trillions of souls for you so that you can talk to him about anything you want. Take him up on his offer.
Never looked at it like that.
And also, the sermon this morning brought out that there's an uncountable number in eternity. And I was talking with Father this week about that. And I said to him, we view this as an uncountable number, those that are in eternity on this world. I said, but you have a count. You keep track of every single soul. And I sat in that moment and I thought, how would he even do that? And then I thought, those of you who have children, there isn't a minute where you're going to forget that you have a child. Why is that? Because you helped make them. Father has made every single soul. So how could he ever forget one soul? That's how he knows every single soul, including us. And that just kind of blew my mind for a minute, because even to this day, he's still creating souls. There's still a whole room filled with dry eraser boards where he's got names and shortcomings and strengths and gifts and a lineage of what parent he's going to give them to. And it blows me away, because you kind of think, well, Father did his work for 6 days and then he slacked off for, trillions of years because everything was all set in motion, right? It's not the case. And I don't think we take to heart how hard our Father works. And all he's asking from you and I is maybe an hour a week or a couple minutes a day to do something for him. I mean, he pleaded with us to just come and see him so he could hand you and I a gift. And then he's going to tell us where we need to go to use that gift. And I was going to go and see him, but then I thought, no, I better not, because I shouldn't have an advantage over all of you. I'm going to have to wait until we talk about it, but I sure am going to go see him right away and find out what gift he has for me that I can use to help somebody else. Choir.
Very nice. Thank you. So I'd like to open up the floor now for anyone who would like to share anything, whether it's an experience or a question or whatever it might be, or just a discussion topic.
Yeah,
I have something. Go ahead, Newt.
Oh, all right. I have an experience with physical healing that Q already kind of knows about. So earlier this week, actually on, I think that was Monday, I'm just already starting off having a rough day. I'm working on an oboe that's just really not cooperating with me, and working with a tool that's it's called a pin vise. It holds essentially a needle on one end of it, and we use that to puncture pads as we need to move things around, yada yada yada. I was moving around quickly, had the thing set down on my bench, went to reach across my workbench and impaled myself. So I had the thing, sorry, this is a little bit graphic. If you want to plug your ears, go ahead. It was literally sticking out of my arm. So I reacted and like pulled my arm up and went to look at it. And this thing, this 4-inch long tool, is sticking out of my elbow. Clearly, like through muscle into the bone. Not a great experience. And just took it out of my arm, set it gently on my bench, stood up and walked away, and just had to get away from the situation. but healed it in the moment. And amazingly, doesn't hurt. Like that day did not hurt anymore. There's no infection, no swelling, nothing. And like this thing is by no means clean. I use it on other people's instruments, but nothing. And it's amazing what Father allows us to do. It's so cool.
Awesome.
Wow, nice.
Wow.
I didn't know we were antiseptic either.
You have a scar you can show us?
Probably not. I don't even. Yeah, no, there's not even a scar. There's
wow.
Nothing there.
Awesome.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Atmos.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that last time I was meditating, I was reading some material, watching some videos on how other people meditate and different tools that are used across different cultures, I guess. And one of the things that I thought was interesting that I tried using was what they call the vault box. So they have, you imagine like basically like, just think of like a big, like a cask, like a cement cask or something like that, has a big heavy lid. And you open this up and you take your pride and you put it in this box and then you shut this door. And then your pride's bouncing around in there and it can't get out. So it can't, and anything else, any other emotion that's attached to you physically here, you can put in this vault. And tell it to just, it stays in there. It can't come out until you let it out. And it actually brought a lot of peace to my meditation. It took some distraction away from me while I was meditating. So it made it a little easier, a little smoother. So I just wanted to throw that out there and let everybody know that it was something that I had tried and it seemed to work.
So with any feeling,
just things that distract faith? Things that distract you, right? So for me, like work, I'll take work and I'll shove that in there, you know, or just whatever maybe you may be struggling with, whether it's something that's going to be distracting you during meditation, and you know it will. And then there's times too while you're meditating where I know I have this issue where I'll be meditating and all of a sudden my mind will start wandering and 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, crap, I've been thinking about this whole time when I should have been meditating. So it takes something like that and throw it in this vault as well and just give it its own space. And it's in the center of your mind. And for me, it's probably a half mile away from where my house is at. So I go there and I cram all this stuff in this vault, shut the vault door, and then I go back to my house. And that gives me the opportunity to get away from it mentally. And I guess physically, inside the center of my mind, as weird as that sounds, and it's probably more spiritually than it is anything, but it just gives you that space from your mind's ability to bring the daily life into your meditation and disrupt you. That's what I found anyways.
Nice.
I've only used it once, maybe. I used it twice now, and it seemed to work. So.
Cool.
That's all.
Hey, so I just had a thought. We think of the center of our mind and all the things that we do as spiritual. Yet, other things that we can't see, like wavelengths and different things in the atmosphere that we can't see, we know that our spiritual side, our soul, is alive and real. Is it physical?
What do you mean? You mean as what we see spiritually, is it physical?
No. Is it physical, but we just don't know. And I'm not saying that, you know, it is or it isn't. I'm just wondering, because they've done some studies or whatever that they've been able to see or a change in someone's weight at their death. And then something leaves them. It's like their soul leaving them. Is it? I just wonder. We can shelve it, but what are your thoughts about trying to figure it out? And
everything is energy. So it does have something.
Substance.
It has substance. It has some kind of a mass. So it makes sense that if you're going to let go of something or lock it up, you are physically doing that. It's a great question.
And see, my biggest concern too is with locking it up is that there's stuff that I'm not letting go of. So instead of letting go of it, it's sitting over there in the vault and it's going to attack me once I'm done. But when I thought about it,
you go I just back stuck, and pick it up?
Well, you have to go back and open it up because you can't just put your pride in there and let it sit there, right? Okay, I mean, it'd be like shoving your free will in there and being like, ha-ha, see ya. You know, I don't, Father won't let us do that, I don't think.
I'm going to try that.
But you know, so I guess you have to think about it and be very, very cautious about what you put in there. Because there's stuff that I would rather give to Jesus. I'd rather put in a box and give to Jesus than put in a vault and have to go back to at the end of meditation, you know? So something like my pride helps me separate, spiritually, this is going to sound weird, but the earthly spiritual side of me versus the spiritual side of me. Does that make sense?
Does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like my physical mind here gets in my spiritual mind's way. And it tries to distract me, right? Satan can't interfere with my spiritual mind's way, but he can get in the way of my physical mind's thinking. And so he can use my thoughts about the everyday world to interfere with my meditation. So if there's things that I can give to Jesus that he can take away from me, I want to do that, right? But things like my own pride, I can't give that to Jesus and have him take it away. I can work on it. I can put it in a vault and make it go away and keep it from distracting me for a little bit to have better meditation or whatever. But it's kind of a difficult thing to kind of wrap your mind around, I guess.
Well, what I was thinking also is if you're putting your pride in there and that helps you have a better meditation, so then you're working on yourself. So at some point you won't have to put your pride in there because you'll be further along.
Good point.
You know, that's kind of like a holding place for a little bit so you can get to where you need to be. And then right. At some point, maybe you'll have to, you know, it's kind of like shelving something for a little bit and then you'll.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a great idea, though. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah
absolutely.
Anyone else? Everyone else.
Well, I was going to say, we can talk about what I had sent that. I had asked you a question about.
That's right. Eternity.
So I was in service for departed, and while I was there, the Holy Spirit like gave me this thought. And so I just sat with it for a little while, and then I ended up texting Q about it. And what it was is that, and we touched on it, I think, briefly in the past, but I was curious if souls in eternity could pray for us not so much us, it was other souls in eternity. And I specifically said, not so much like the souls that are working there, but specifically the ones that are working on themselves. And if they're working on themselves and seem to be moving forward, wouldn't that give them more, I guess, more empathy or more of a, to want to pray for others souls in eternity? Because I sat in that moment, because I'm like, well, if we're here on earth praying and there are souls that are there working, there's still so much work to do. And there's so many souls that are there. How on earth would we be able to do all this? So I sent Q text. And you can carry on.
yep. And in fact, we talked about it again today, so there's a little bit more to it. But interestingly, the day before that, we had a funeral of a sister in our congregation that we've known our whole married life, part of the Holland congregation, a Yuldricks, which is part of the congregation, several generations. And she is the cousin of Randy Jacobacy. So a lot of you might know Randy Jacobacy. Lynn died. Four children, and the children are grown, beautiful. They were all my Sunday school kids, and we had them in the youth as well. And so after the funeral, Bill, who was grieving and just broken because her husband, Bill Yuldricks, her husband, you know, it's hard. And when I was talking with him and he was crying, and I said, she is good and she is at peace and she's now in eternity and she can continue the work. And she prays for you. You pray for her, but she prays for you. And as soon as I said that, I thought, okay, I hope. Thank you. And then I get the text the next day from Starlight, and I think, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. How cool. Because the Holy Spirit is just dropping a seed there and then here and then there. And then we're coming around and we're figuring it all out. And how beautiful is that? And so then in our conversation, I think it was at dinner today, when we were talking about that when a soul goes into eternity and they're absolutely not connected to Father at all because they never believed in him, they had another belief or whatever it was, or it's just void. And they get there and they go, oh, what is this? Where am I? And then help comes and then teaches them a little bit. And they understand that, okay, God is real. And Jesus is the one. And then at that point, when they have realized that, as soon as they do that, then they have an opportunity to come to a service, have their sins forgiven, and then start working on themselves. And at that point, they would have the ability and the willingness to actually pray for someone else, for themselves and someone else. But prior to that, someone is in turmoil and they're totally disconnected. Do they pray? They might if they believed, but they're disconnected because their beliefs were wrong. They could pray, but they'd be praying to God specifically. Any other comments?
Any soul at any time can pray to Father and he'll hear them.
Nice.
Regardless of whatever their belief system is, if they want to talk to him, he will listen to them.
Fantastic.
Japan is another gift he gives mankind.
Nice.
Did you get that poem I sent you?
Oh, I did. Yes. Good time to read that. Okay, I'm not going to tell you the title, but I'll tell you that in the service this morning, Footprints in the Sand, I read that in the service because it was highlighted in the Divine Service Guide, and I didn't just take for granted that everybody knew what it was. But this poem says, one night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there were seen, the footprints of my precious Lord. But mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared. And I asked the Lord, what have we here? Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet. My child, he said in somber tones, for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed, you would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired, I got fed up. And there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life, there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb. When one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand. And I think you got this from Fred.
I did. Thank you, Fred. I thought that was cute. Share it with the team.
That's very good.
Alrighty then.
Stand up.
Interesting.
So, first I'll ask again. Anybody have anything to share? Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Sandy. Welcome to go.
Hi. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I was just going to share a quick little experience that my daughter had this week. There was one night she was driving home, and she was coming home from her boyfriend's house. It was dark and late at night. And she drives my mom's vehicle, which is an old GMC Yukon. The thing is a beast. And she was on her way home and she hit a deer. Aww. And she came home and she came in the bedroom and told me right away. And Jerry went out and looked at the car the next day, and we're thinking, there's got to be damage. And I asked her, and she said the deer died, and it was on the side of the road then. And we looked out, and there was not any damage to her car. Wow. Other than just a tiny little bit of the front plastic part of the grill and some hair stuck in there. But there was nothing. And I went the next day as I was leaving for work, and I thought, I just want to see, because she told me where she hit the deer, and that deer looked like it got mangled.
Wow.
Wow.
And yet Bianca was totally fine. And I told her, I said, oh baby, you better pray really, really hard and give lots of thanks for angel protection.
That's
for sure. Amen. Wow. Yeah, they destroy cars.
They sure
do.
Yeah. I hit one and it cost us 10 grand. Well, it cost my insurance company 10 grand.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I just couldn't believe that she didn't have any damage. And I told her, I said, I'm pretty sure the angels were protecting you, but I'm guessing grandma was like, hey, that's my car. Take care.
Yeah. She pushed the angel aside. I got this one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever told any or many of you of this, but I'm reminded Sister Yuldricks, who just passed away, her daughter Kim, we've reconnected. She was one of my Sunday school kids, and now she's how old, Derek?
32, 35.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I always remember that story you told us about the deer on Christmas Eve. We were coming back from Diane's house, and we lived in South Haven. So we took M43, and we're just driving along. And as we're driving, I look over and, you know, we're talking and we're just going on and we're talking. I looked up and I saw two deer like this. Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I went, and we went right between them.
Oh,
I mean,
I don't think I've heard this. Yeah.
I'm surprised because I mean, we were just married at our first house. But I mean, you can kind of see, I mean, they're just like standing in the road talking to each other, and we went right between them.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's not possible, but it's a miracle. And
the guy who created amazing. Physics can break the law of physics.
Yes. Yes. And you know, what was so cool about that is that Kim has faith, and she said, I remember you told us that in class, and it just stuck with me. because it was an experience of faith, and she recognized that, and it's so beautiful. Really cool.
Nice. I had something that happened many, many years ago, but in our congregation where we used to go, they've closed it now. I was standing in the sanctuary talking with some members, and Thomas, my youngest son, he must have been about 6 years old, and he was just talking. He was being silly, talking, and he was walking backwards, and he walked right off of the step, and there must be about 8 steps. And all I could do like was watch in horror. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what am I gonna see at the bottom of the stairs? He just got up and walked on. There was not a scratch on him, nothing. Yeah.
Wow.
Man. It was like the angels carried him down. Like I could actually see him going down to the bottom. It was really it was an amazing experience.
Wow.
That probably happens and we don't even know it.
Yeah, probably through our whole life.
Mm-hmm. Dad.
Oh, yeah. So my dad ended up in the hospital at one point because he hurt himself. And he wouldn't tell us how he hurt himself. So I was in the emergency room with him. And his lead angel at the time, his name was Trocol, who's actually working with Blazar now. But as my dad was laying there, Trofall says to me, "Your father fell in the hallway when he was carrying some things." And I looked at my dad and I went, "Did you fall in the hallway?" And he stops what he was doing and he looks at me and he goes, "Did my angel just rat me out?" I said, "He sure did." I said, "What were you doing?" He goes, "Well, I had my grocery bags in this hand and I had my cane in this hand and I was holding a gallon of milk. And when I went forward, the gallon of milk knocked my cane out from under me and I went down." He goes, "But it was the weirdest thing because it was like slow motion. I fell down to the ground and it didn't even hurt. Now it does."
Oh.
And it was priceless. Did he just rent me out?
Nice.
That's neat.
Yeah, a gallon of milk and a cane in the same hand.
Yeah. That's our day.
It's kind of funny when you say that, John, about the cane, because my mother and I both use a cane, but I end up with 2 purses all the time.
Yeah.
And people look at me funny and I go, yeah, I feel much wealthier carrying 2 purses.
You're balanced. Is balanced. What it means. Balanced, yeah.
Balanced,
yeah.
Looking at this group, I don't think you would have ever heard this story, but it comes to mind. It's something that happened with Shelley Geipel. She used to work at a gas station. This was before she was married and still living at home. And she was working late at night, and some guys came in who looked kind of rough, and she was afraid. And she wasn't quite sure what was going to happen, but she felt really afraid, prayed, and just really didn't want to be there. And then this old farmer came in and walked in. And after he was there for a little while, the guys looked at him and left.
Wow.
And I remember the district elder Geipel sharing the story about this, you know, when he was probably the rector in Hartford then. And he said, Shelley saw a nice old farmer. We have no idea what those others saw.
Mm.
But when they saw whatever they saw, they ran. So it's kind of interesting. You know, you hear things like that and you know it's real. You know, it's absolutely.
Yes, because we've seen how large our angels are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
You know, you were talking about something you had taught in Sunday school. And I just couldn't help but think of this story because I remember as a little kid in Sunday school, my uncle telling us this story. And at the time, my dad had this old black pickup. And this thing was so ugly. And he actually spray painted it black. And he put a bright orange bumper on it, spray painted the bumper bright orange. It was hideous. And so my uncle was telling my brother, he had this friend at the time, Donovan, and he was saying, he said, you know, let's use that old black pickup as an example, Rick. And he said, you know, so you and Donovan, you both get your driver's license, and Rick, Donovan gets this nice new car. And guess what you get? And Rick goes, what? He goes, you get the old black pickup. And he said, now fast forward, and Donovan goes, you both go to school. Donovan gets this great job, and he's able to buy an even nicer car. And guess what you get, Rick? And he's like, what? And he said, well, you get the old black pickup. And he said, now Donovan, his whole life, he never goes to church. He never prays. He doesn't do anything, but he's very wealthy. And he ends up getting the nicest car you can imagine. And he asked Rick, he said, what kind of car would that be? And I still remember Rick goes, a Lamborghini Countach. Oh. And he says, yep. So Donovan's got this Lamborghini Countach, but Rick, you've just always put the Lord first in your life, and you've done work in the church and all these things, but you still get the old black pickup. And he said, but now when you and Donovan, and you get older, you both die. And Rick, because of everything you've done in your life, guess what God gives you? And Rick's like, please say it's not the old black And he said, no, you get the Lamborghini Countach. But guess what Donovan gets? And Rick's like, what? He goes, he gets the old black pickup.
So from that, I guess we're all getting Lamborghinis later then. Mm-hmm. All the work we're doing. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Aren't those low to the ground? That doesn't work for me. It's too low to the ground.
Well, they have heavenly knees.
So we had an interesting service today. Why don't we just share some things that we might have learned?
Good idea. Anyone? Good.
I'll share something real quick because we have an interesting circumstance. We don't get to go to church every Sunday. So we get to watch it on TV. Because of the time change, I was late to getting it on. And because we have kids, I was late to getting it on. All excuses, of course. But the boys have become interested in wanting to give communion out. They want to be the ones that hand it out. So we've been teaching them about what it means and how to do it and why we do the things that we do. And Atticus asked today if he could do it. And that little boy grabbed that communion and just did it like he's been doing it all his life. Looks you dead in the eye, puts it in your hand. And to hear a little four-year-old say, you know, the body and blood of Jesus given for you, it means a whole new thing than it does coming from however
old minister,
priest or minister or rector or whatever. So because of that circumstance, I just wanted to share that because today, I don't know why that just kind of hit me. I didn't know how to feel about it. You know, because we are 2 hours from the nearest congregation, it's tough to always get there, especially with three kids. But, you know, we do the best we can here at the house and we do the best with them I guess it just kind of made me feel good knowing that they're getting they're getting something out of it. You know, maybe it's not as much as they would if they were at a congregation. And we do get to the congregations. We try to do that once a month at least. Him and his brothers are just really kind of, I don't know, just really kind of enjoy doing it, and they want to do it, and they're excited to do it. And so it just kind of, it just made me feel good knowing that they're wanting to chase after the Lord, and they're wanting to learn. They're very curious, and they're not afraid to jump in and do things. So it just meant more today. Again, we missed service. So we didn't get to it until about just before the Lord's Prayer. So unfortunately, we didn't get to hear a whole lot. But
you just wanted to share that.
Father, can you use
the live feed?
What about it?
You can rewind it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we know. Yeah.
Okay.
That brings back a childhood memory for me, and I haven't remembered this in a long time. But when I was younger, my cousins and I used to play church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did all the time too.
Yep.
We used to play at the Galesburg congregation when service was over. Mm-hmm. We pretend to go out for communion and.
That's nice. And so you go ahead, Traylon.
I was going to say that at most, Father can use a 4-year-old vessel as well. And I think he's showing you that you guys are connected, even though you don't physically go to a congregation, you're still connected.
Yeah. And that was an awesome feeling because, you know, coming from, you know, being born and raised Lutheran, if you don't do things exactly by the book, God beats you. And he smites you. Yep. And you're going to hell. So to have a 4-year-old ask, hey, Daddy, can I do this? I'm like, you know, my first instinct is no. You sure can't because you don't know what any of it means. But then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, why can't he? Why not? He wants to. Then why can't he?
So. I think in the beginning, too, when they asked, we were both like, because it's such a sacred moment. But at the same time, I'm like, why keep it from him? Why not let him be a part of that or do that?
If he wants to be a part of it, why not let him?
Yeah,
so they're always like,
why squash the Holy Spirit in a little child?
A childlike heart.
That's right. Yeah. He's got the purity of heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So they're always like, Gunner's like, I want to do it. And I'm like, you can do it next weekend when Mama and Papa are here. Don't worry.
Of heart until they want to fight about it.
And so
we're getting ready to go for communion. And they're like, but I want to. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
So set it up ahead of time. Whose turn is it?
You have to put a schedule because I'm scheduled to hold a service. So they have to be scheduled. So here's the point. First of all, you're connected with the TV. You're connected with the service. It's been sanctified. And you are doing that. And the really cool part is, when the servants are serving Holy Communion, Jesus is serving us himself. Mm-hmm. And he's giving of himself. And so in that situation, that's exactly what happened.
And his favorite souls are small children.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, you can put a bumper sticker on your car. My son serves communion in my church.
Yeah.
But you know, it is the highlight of the service.
Right?
I would totally put that on my truck and drive around.
No, I could totally.
All the way.
That's awesome.
That's great, though, that they want to do that, even though you think you're disconnected, honestly. I mean, look at the participation of young people in the church, and it's great to see that the younger ones, you know, still are there. We've lost some of our young people, but, you know, the youngest ones, still there's that magic and that enticement and the innocence, right? They don't know that it's not cool to be in church. They just see that it's an opportunity to help. And I pray every day that kind of filters up into the generations between 60-year-olds that are getting ready to retire and the 5-year-olds that want to serve communion, right? We got a 55-year gap in there, you know? Yeah. So, by the way,
Jeremy, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you might have to get a step stool out for them to be behind the altar.
Yeah, yeah. When I go to get it, I have to stoop down to look them in the eye.
But because Jeremy and I were talking, and I explained to him, like, the way I grew up is just so involved, right? Between Sunday school and then religious instruction and then confirmation and junior youth and then youth group. Like, that's just how I grew up. And I'm a part of me is very sad because my kids don't get that. Because my kids don't get to be in a Sunday school every Sunday, and they don't get to grow up the way that I did. So there's a part of me that loves the fact that they want to be involved in church and they want to be involved in the communion aspect of things, and they ask questions. But it's also disheartening because I don't want them to miss out on anything. I don't want them to not have the connection with Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit because we aren't able to be in church. And so when we do go to church, Jeremy and I were talking and we're like, we almost felt like not that we were taking it for granted when we lived in Portage, but it was basically like, okay, it's Sunday, we get to get up and go to church, this is great. You know, down here we're like, okay, when's the next weekend that we can go to Dallas? Like, when's the next weekend that we can be a part of a congregation and actually be in service? Because we've had some moments where it's been kind of dark here without having that every Sunday and having that core group of congregation around you all the time. And, you know, you're on your own. I mean, it's just us here. So we've had some dark moments, but in those moments, we have tried to turn it around. Like, maybe this is not better, but we are able to, he and I, be on the same plane to teach our children about Father and about things. And we don't hold back. When we talk about them, we talk to them about everything. Like, they ask questions about something and we fill them in on what happens in the realms of the departed. And, like, it just, because we don't get that other than what we share. So for our kids to want to actually do communion, and like we talked about it in the very beginning, we were like, well, I don't know if we should do it. And now we're like, why not? Like, what, it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to hurt. It doesn't take away from it. It actually almost makes it more than not. So.
Well, it's the highlight of the service anyway, and you're making it the highlight by letting them be involved.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. And they're taking it seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing.
Right.
No. That's important.
Right. And if anything, it feels like as children, they're more worthy of handing out communion than someone who's lived their adult life. Like, yeah. They're so pure.
Yeah, their bucket is not as full of sin as ours is. Even though they just got forgiven.
This reminds me of a moment. My uncle was a district elder at the time, and we used to have the Sunday school services every once in a great while. And my uncle is a very learned man, and I was kind of leery of him actually holding a children's service because I didn't think he could connect, you know, with children. And he said something so profound, it stuck with me all these years. He said to the children, he said, "Do you know how big God is?" And they all kind of looked at him funny. And he went, "He's so big that he made this planet that you live on. He made the entire solar system that we live in. And he made all of the universes around us. But do you also know that he's tiny enough to fit into your heart?"
Oh, that's beautiful.
That is
profound.
Yep.
I'm going to mention that to the Sunday school children next week.
There you go.
Awesome. Really nice.
What an awesome meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I have something in my eye.
He's crying.
We love you, Trilan.
Oh, I love you.
We know how emotional you get. We've been around you for a while.
Yeah.
You don't know nothing. Okay.
That's right.
That's a tiny bit.
Very nice.
Oh.
All right, so we're winding down. We have the birthday. So March birthdays. We have Zenith on the 4th. Happy birthday that's passed. We have Tom, who's on the 12th. I'm on the 18th, just send cash. April birthdays, Nova's on the 4th, and Marina is on the 16th. I have on the schedule that the team meeting next month will be on the 14th, but we're out of town that weekend, so I'd like to push it to the 21st, if that works for everybody. If not, I understand that you won't be able to make it, but I thought it would be important that I actually attend my meeting, so I'm going to move it to the 21st. So, Hugh, did you pick someone to pray?
I didn't. and I don't really want to put anybody on the spot. If anybody would volunteer, if not, I'm happy to do it. Hey, we'll pray. Loving Father, we are so happy and thankful that you are our Heavenly Father. And we are your children, the greatest name that we can be called, this child of God. And we are yours. But we are also workers, guardians, who, for some reason, in some way, you've given us gifts, abilities, and a future and a present that you need us and want us to do some work. The work is amazing. If we could even imagine all of the experiences that we've all had throughout these times, we'd really be amazed at how much you give to us. But dear Father, much needs to be done. The work in eternity is vast, and it still is amazing to us that we go into eternity. And we stand in your stead as a blessing for them. Let it be, dear Father, that our connection with you gets stronger and stronger each and every day. Then also be with us in our daily life and activities and our responsibilities, dear Father, that even though we are in the world and we have to do things, dear Father, in this world, let us always remain connected with you, because we know that it's your desire that you help us every step of the way. With all the big things and with all the little things, help us to always do your will. And that is the way that we take our will and conform it to your will, that we want what you want. Let it always be that way. Continue to help us find grace and favor in the sight of those who we come in contact with, and especially put us in contact with those who need help, that we can be a blessing used in your hands, and lead us into our future in every respect. We love you, Father. Please send the Lord Jesus soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Love you. Have